Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your girl, Afnan Idris, and this is a special edition of Hustle & Hues, the number one place for Black and Brown entrepreneurs. Y'all, we are talking to hip-hop legend, Mr. J. Jeezy Jenkins. Jeezy, also known as The Snowman, has 12 studio albums and is a four-time Grammy-nominated multi-platinum artist turned into a complete business mogul. I got a chance to catch up with him at Essence in New Orleans and talk to him about his new memoir called Adversity for Sale, out now and in stores everywhere. During Essence Fest, Mr. Jenkins talked to us about his transition into a businessman from music. He also details his childhood, and he talks about how his new book was really therapy for him to open up to his audience. If you haven't already, please take a minute to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Let's jump in. Hey guys, this is Afnan Idris from the Hustle & Hues podcast, and I am here with an esteemed guest, Mr. J. Jeezy Jenkins. Welcome to Essence. Super excited to have you.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, so I want to go ahead and jump into the question. So you've noticeably transitioned from being just a music artist into a well-rounded businessman. You have charted a path that many may find unconventional for a rapper. And I want you to tell us about the specific moment that you knew that your history was going to be more than just music.
Mm-hmm. Well, the craziest thing is when I was younger, I always saw myself three-piece suit. This is my vision, three-piece suit, nice Italian shoes, clean watch with no diamonds. I don't know why I'm wearing this one today. Clean wedding band, clean cut, well-respected businessman. And that was my vision, because a lot of people don't know, like, music is my talent, but my passion is business, always have been. And that's how I saw myself. So that's what I was running towards, right? And that's what drove me. And I knew that I couldn't get into business without some type of vessel, meaning I couldn't come from the streets into a boardroom. It was not going to work. So music was that vessel.
You talk about in your book that you were one of only in your family, and for the people around you, you were doing something that was unconventional, that was different. And a lot of people struggle with going away from what their friends and their family do or what everybody else is doing around them. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you have the strength and the courage to chart your own path?
Well, what it was I was my father was in the military, so we moved around a lot. So when my parents got divorced and we had to go back to the hood, I knew that there was a bigger world out there. And I was like, yo, I like, you know, that other world too. So how do I get back there? So my mission was to get back there as quick as possible, right? So when I would tell people my vision, they didn't see it because they never saw it. But I saw it.
So they didn't have the access.
Right. So I knew that it exists. So I just had to, you know, I'm telling my friend, there are beaches. They're like, beaches? They're like, what are you talking about? Right. You know, there's this and that. And there's just like, yo, they didn't see it, but I knew it exists. Right. So my thing was I had to drown out all the noise and just go. You know, I didn't have a choice because I knew that my current reality wasn't where I wanted to stay. It wasn't going to work for me.
I love that. And then you are a veteran and when it comes to hip hop and releasing all of your albums, right? But you're new as an author. I would love to know about how it is transitioning as a veteran in one space as a musician to now being new as an author.
Well, I can tell you the process of making music is different from making a book, because making music, you know, you got a knack for it. Writing a book was therapeutic for me. Yes, because it was like journaling. It was things that I needed to get out that I didn't know, right? So it was almost like me understanding why I still have certain triggers or certain ways about things. Like he asked me the question about, you know, when my cousin took my money, like that's the moment I stopped trusting people. I needed to get that out, right? Because I don't need to be in my adult life not trusting everybody. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I gotta have some type of discernment. So I think or on a therapeutic level, it helped a lot. Now, being an author is a totally different field, because now people are walking around with something, because I read books all the time, right? And when I read a book I really love, I get a natural love for the person because they're sharing their life and their vulnerability. And I think this is the most vulnerable I've ever been. You know, I'm vulnerable in my music, but you still got the, you know, that element of street. This ain't street.
Absolutely. And you've been opening up more and more over the years, right? What was the personal process you had to do to shed yet another layer and be vulnerable with your audience?
I mean, I just started, you know, like we was talking about earlier, just like I had a lot of people around at one point that I really couldn't trust. you know, coming from my circumstances. But as I began to acquire and start to build a relationship with people I actually trusted, I started to let my guard down to certain areas because they had a real love for me. And that helped the process because it was like, you can't be vulnerable with the wolves. Right. You got to be a wolf too.
Yeah.
You better be. You feel me?
What was the hardest part for you about writing this book?
The hardest part was really just opening it up and just knowing that in a lot of my weaker moments, I wasn't as strong as I should have been. And now I see that, right? And a lot of decisions I made cost people, you know, their freedom and all these things. So you just kind of reliving like, damn, like I did that. How can I fix it? You know what I'm saying? How can I go back? There's a lot of things that I realized just going through the book that I actually want to go back and try to fix.
I love that. And then you also talk about your experience with depression.
Yep.
I would love for you to share transparently because, you know, you got a gangster persona. Everybody knows where you come from and you have respect.
Depressed too, though. Gangsters get depressed. But this the thing, though. I didn't know it was depression. You know what I'm saying?
How did you find out?
Because I started, like, being around people I love, asking questions, reading books, listening to podcasts, and I'm hearing all these words, and I'm like, damn, hold on, wait. That makes sense.
You have language now.
Yeah, because I didn't have the tools. And when I started to understand, I'm like, wow. You know, it's like when women have babies, what's they call it? When they have babies and they go through that whole period of being depressed.
Oh, yeah,
right, I forget the word. I'm blanking out. Yeah, like you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless your experience.
Right. So, and as these words come up, I go, oh, that's what happened with my son's mother. Right? That's what happened. Like, I didn't know what was going on with her. So when I was going through these things, I didn't have the verbiage for it. And when I started to understand, I go, okay, I understand it now. So what do I do about it? That had to do a lot with my health. You know what I'm saying? I had to start taking care of myself. I wasn't drinking water. I wouldn't eat right. So that was like the first step.
So inside and out, you're completely rehabilitating yourself.
So, oh, no, it's still a work in progress. But what I'm saying, I started to understand that had something to do with it. And I was the type of person, I would go on like 2 hours of sleep. I'm like, now I'm reading like, you gotta sleep. Because if you don't do that, you know, you set yourself up for failure. And then it was just like all the stuff I was doing as my vices. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to do what I do, but now in moderation.
The coping mechanisms.
Right, because now I'm numbing myself. But now I got to go deal with it and confront it. And that was the biggest part, like dealing with it and confronting it. And at this point, the book helped me out so much because it helped me understand what I was feeling at the time. You see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know about anxiety. You know, I didn't have the words for it. Right. But now I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys just breathe, bro. Just breathe.
There's two layers when it comes to therapy and mental health. The first is knowing what your triggers are. And then the second is once you see them, being able to grow through it and overcome them. What are you going and growing through right now?
Well, you know, it's the craziest thing is keyword is triggers. And that's a real word. You know what I'm saying? That's another word I didn't realize until, you know, I actually started to dig into it.
Yeah.
But I started learning what to do to help me not be triggered by people. And then the open line of communication about what triggers me, right?
Being honest and open.
Right, because if you know, we from the street, you don't tell nobody, hey man, don't do that. Right, that. And then also being transparent about my boundaries. You know what I'm saying? Because that's a word I didn't, you know, but like you're allowed to tell somebody, hey look, I don't like, right. You know what I'm saying? And when I started doing that, it started to help me kind of ease off because I came from a place of natural aggression. You know, you have to be, you know.
The survival tactics that were required.
And this is the biggest thing. What I learned that was key was what was something that I needed then, a survival tactic I needed then, it doesn't serve me now. You see what I'm saying?
It's so powerful because we hold on to them for dear life because it's what we use to survive. But then at some point we can release it and it's so hard.
It doesn't serve you anymore. You know what I'm saying? You can't go with the same mentality because now the people that you love, you might hurt them, you know, because you're trying to survive. So that's the thing I love is the difference between, you know, living for love or living for survival. And when I say love, I mean your people, your family, your friends, and the people that you really respect. You know, if you're living for survival with them, that's already an issue. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being transparent. That's all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for stopping by. We appreciate you. Take care.